Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, Dr. Drew is going to call in and get us all caught up about his COVID saga, his odyssey, his sagacy. It's a new word I've coined. It's a saga versus an odyssey. So he'll get us caught up with that. Lots of revelations, news as well.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Dr. Drew calls in, and we'll do a live Q&A, courtesy of the Stereo app. And now, his secretly recorded phone calls are a lot funnier. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church is going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
What I do now.
So Drew's going to get us caught up on his illness, as well as a few other thoughts, because I spoke to him earlier today. So we got that coming up soon. I got unprepared for you guys. Also, got some stuff I wanted to talk about. I want to get a haircut, but there's no haircuts to be found now. All these places are closed down. So,
explain to those of us who don't get haircuts: are the salons like closed? Are they doing outdoor stuff? Is this a city by city thing? I have not heard one way or the other in months.
They started, you know, months ago by closing them, and then they moved them outdoors, so people just went out on the sidewalk and got a haircut.
And it wasn't in the breezy, crisp fall.
No.
That was in the height of the heat wave.
Yes, and then they let them go back indoors, and they limited the people. The line would form outside. They would let a small number of people inside, and then they had all the masks and the social distancing and all that stuff, and you'd get your haircut with the mask on, and when they did, like, your sideburns, you'd pull the hook off the one ear, and they'd work on that, and you'd just kind of hold it, and then you'd rehook it on that side and unhook it on the opposite side, and they do the other sideburn.
It was broken somehow?
I don't know, but my thought that I had a little earlier today was this. Far as I can tell, people, and especially women, and maybe this will pertain a little more to women, are still getting their hair cut and their hair colored. It's a big deal for a large segment of women. There's a lot of women that just don't want to go gray, and they don't want the gray roots, and the hair is a big deal. So no woman I know has just gone, you know, 10 months or a year without getting the roots dyed or the hair colored or the tint or the highlights or the hair blown out or the hair cut. So what they're doing is they're going and doing it sort of off the grid. People are coming. I know a woman who is a salon owner and does the hair cutting, and she goes to people's houses and cuts the hair. And also somebody let her use like their garage. And so she's in the garage and seeing people there. But I started thinking, well, A, obviously going to people's homes and cutting their hair and going to the garage and cutting hair is much worse than going to the salon and doing it, because the salon is regulated and they have all these protocols with all the plexiglass and the masks and everything. And it's all sort of in place, and they're all pretty dutifully following those rules. So you go from the place that has the rules, that's the safer place to get this done, to the sort of back alley. haircut. And I really started thinking about the abortion because the same people that want the salons closed down are the same people that are making the argument that if you make the abortion clinics, if you defund the abortion clinics, people aren't going to stop getting abortions. They're just going to
find a way.
They'll find a way, but it's going to be in a dangerous, it's going to be in a dangerous environment.
I'm not getting safe highlights. It's been a while. It's been very risky.
To me, although it sounds like a joke, it's really pretty analogous, which is there's a behavior and the behavior is either getting your hair cut or getting an abortion. You closing down the abortion clinic, according to the logic of the people who want all the salons closed down, is not going to prevent anyone from getting an abortion. It's just going to make it dangerous. Now, you've done the same fucking thing with salons. You close the salon down, the barbershop down. People don't stop getting their haircut. They just start doing it from inside their home or in the garage or in the salon with the curtains drawn. And that's it. So I'm going to use your abortion argument and apply it to salons. People are going to engage in this behavior anyway, and now you're forcing them sort of underground in a non-sterile environment. Plus, did people really go to alleys to get abortions? I imagine
the entrance is out the alley. I don't know if the clinic is in the alley.
At some point,
right up on a cot.
At some point, you got to head indoors for an abortion.
Yeah, that's right.
There's going to be lots of garbage men experiencing people getting abortions. It could be almost a daily experience for your garbage. Like, I was going down the alley to the back of the restaurant. This chick was getting an abortion.
The rookie runs up to the old veteran. You're never going to believe what I saw. Let me guess, kid.
Yeah.
But excuse me, Mr. Funny Man, I was listening to what you had to say. I was taking copious notes. And if we're using your logic, then you're saying if we go inside to get our haircuts, we could catch an abortion. Now, if you have a pregnant woman come into your salon to get her highlights and lowlights done, she could miscarry because she wanted to take 3 inches off.
Nancy Grad, I don't think that's not what I was saying. I wasn't
I don't think you care about these pregnant women. I don't think you're into safety. Somebody's going to snatch your child, give her a haircut. God willing, she doesn't have an abortion.
Slippery slope, Grad.
That's true.
Thank you.
Adam, you'll be happy to know that this is appropriate with Drew coming on. I quote you and Dr. Drew often. Adam and Drew circa, 1996 or so. I say all the time, when I'm talking to Christy or whatever, I'm like, you have to deal with reality on reality's terms. It's a famous, love line quote. Deal with reality on reality's terms. And it's like your example is like the needle exchange. People freaked out. We're going to give needles to heroin.
Or
the reality is these people are addicted to opiates and heroin, and they will inject themselves one way or another. Let's make sure they don't kill themselves and harm society in the process. Reality
right.
on reality is true.
I agree.
I'd love it if they could just stop. If we could say, hey, don't do that. But
they'd love it too.
That's not reality.
Right. But I'm saying the group of people who are most vocal about needle exchanges and keeping the abortion clinics open, which I'm all for, are the same ones that are shutting down all these fucking salons. And again, it's just reality on reality's terms. People
these
are going to
women are addicted. They're,
people
they're
are
going to
do it. Well, if you really take a woman and her hair, and I'm not talking necessarily about 23-year-old women, although it's a big deal for them. But 53-year-old women, that is a big-ass deal. It's the last thing on their head that's potentially young.
Rapunzel-esque.
Well, as a 53-year-old woman, everything on you is 53 years old, but your hair can potentially be perpetually 22 and a half. Like, when you take a look at the Real Housewives of Orange County, everything on them is old or been rehabbed or refixed. They're basically like they're like an old Buick in Cuba. You know what I mean? They just fix them up and keep them back on the road. But the hair, if you took all of those 50-something-year-old women from Real Housewives of whatever city and you just blurt out every part of them except for their hair, you would not be able to tell the difference between a 25-year-old's hair and their hair. And that's the way they like it. They like the idea of wearing this 25-year-old helmet on top of this 55-year-old head.
Especially the Housewives of Atlanta.
Right.
Extensions.
Extensions. Oh, yeah. Come on. Which I always look at.
I got news for you. They all have extensions in Orange County and beyond.
Man, I think for me that's less a fashion statement than it is a safety thing. Because at some point when they get into a fight someone grabs on the hair, much like the lizard's tail, it just pops off.
Right off.
For safety.
You can get clip on.
You can get
There's also a glue in. I wouldn't do that.
You can get away from your foe that way. Who's the who used to be your best friend three glasses of Chardonnay ago. But now the shit's going down.
That's right.
All right. Drew is on line one. Hey, Drew.
Yeah, buddy.
You're convalescing from home.
I am. I'm in bed, literally.
How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling more human. I am able to get out of bed and move around. You and I did a little bit of podcasting from bed. That felt good.
Yeah.
COVID fog is no BS. I can't think. I can't concentrate. I can't get overwhelmed really easily. Still coughing, still short of breath when I try to do anything. Day 11, and I'm fighting not to be a long hauler. That's my one goal in life right now.
Yeah,
but I told you I have this strange emotional reaction where I'm like I'm glad I took the bullet for a couple reasons, because A, I get to see the patient perspective and I want people to understand there's a ton to be done for this illness that can keep people out of the hospital, and why the F the public health departments are not educating people about this is just driving me insane. And A and B, it drives me crazy to think not only am I a casualty on the field of battle, but people are being made worse by losing their businesses and not able to live their lives. I want people to go live. I'll take the bullet. You go just live responsibly. Don't get this thing, but get the damn vaccine and go live.
What was your protocol? What did you start on immediately?
So I started on ivermectin and doxycycline, and I could tell the ivermectin was helping me. Then I got a call from Dr. Zelenko himself, who begged me to take hydroxychloroquine. I said, okay, I'll take it. I'm not convinced, but I'll take it. And the flu part ended pretty quickly, but then I moved into the dreaded part, which is what happens to old people. My son's got it, too, and he's just had the flu, and he's actually pissed. He's like, why did I quarantine for 9 months for this? But it's what it's supposed to be. If you're older and if you have metabolic syndrome, you get these problems, which is this inflammatory stage where your lungs get inflamed, you get this pneumonia, you get all kinds of neurological symptoms. It's brutal. But I got put on dexamethasone early, Decadron, and I got a monoclonal antibody infusion that anybody can get. It's available on all insurances, including Medi-Cal. Your doctor just essentially applies at CVS and a nurse shows up, and that really changed the direction of my illness. And why that isn't being advocated, it keeps people out of the hospital. I don't know why we're not helping people understand. Don't go to the emergency room, get a telemedicine visit, have the doctor sign up, get an infusion nurse, and go. There's nothing more that needs to be done. You can stay out of the hospital.
Is the infusion the Bama Falama Lama Lama Ding Dong, or what is it?
Say that two more times, please.
What is the infusion called? What is the name of it?
Bamlanivimab. The inpatient version is Regeneron. The outpatient is Bamlanivimab. And if you're sick enough, you need to go in the hospital, you get the remdesivir. But this is a monoclonal antibody. And during the infusion, I actually felt better in the middle of the infusion. And I told the nurse, I go, look, I'm just going to report to you what I'm experiencing. I don't know if this is placebo or not, but colors are brighter and I feel stronger. And he goes, I hear that all day. And he goes, I'm infusing all day in poor people's houses, middle class houses, rich people's houses. Why more people aren't doing this, I don't know. It's unreal to me that we have public health officials standing, wringing their hands and crying and telling people to stay home when they should be teaching them how to use the healthcare system.
Well, I was positing this thought earlier with the Drew, which is, you know, all you hear is the doom and the gloom and the body bags and the hospitals are overwhelmed and the spike and everything else. You never hear about protocols. I mean, wear a mask and social distance and stay home and be scared, but they never talk about what to do, what they have, medications, innovations, things like that, which is really what they should be talking about. I mean, the doom and the gloom part, that's fine, but it's almost not even really their job. Their job is, you know, leaders should be, and medical professionals, here's what we're making progress on, here's the protocols. If in fact you feel like you've come down with this, here's the first thing you should do.
Here's what to do.
Yeah, it kind of falls under the heading of vitamin D and exercise and sunshine and getting your immune system stronger. It's all stuff that's never discussed. So it's insane to me that all we do is talk about overwhelmed hospitals and first responders and spikes and dooms and glooms. And we never really talk about, well, what should we do? And if you sort of think about that and you just take a perspective and you go, well, let's not talk about it as a virus. Let's talk about it. Let's say we had our mayor and our city officials and our whomevers. Let's just say we're talking about earthquakes. What if they just kept talking about how bad earthquakes were? But nobody ever said, put some water aside, put some cash aside, have some dry food,
no,
go ahead and take that big bookshelf and fasten it to the wall so it doesn't tip over. Like, shouldn't part B be all the fucking shit we should know and should be doing? And we don't hear any of that. And I suspect we don't hear any of that because it doesn't fit with the theme, which is doom and gloom and stay home. If you started talking about things you could do and ways to lessen this disease, then I think in their mind that would then make a certain group of the populace think, oh, well, maybe it's okay to venture outside, because if I venture outside and I get it, then I can do these protocols. So it may be a little nefarious, and maybe they may be not telling us any of that shit on purpose. And but the upshot of it is most people have no fucking idea what to do, and they just feel like they're going to go to a hospital that's overwhelmed.
If you're, you know, so my son's got it. He's got the flu. No big deal. He's actually pissed. He's been in quarantine for 9 months. So it's the flu if you're 28. And if you're 65, you get the flu followed by this inflammatory thing. And you need to hit it hard and early. You've got to go at it. One thing that I really saw very clearly, I could tell if this thing got ahead of me, I would have been in big trouble. So you stay on it. I was managed every day by my doctor, by the phone. I didn't have to go in anywhere. I had an infusion nurse, and I had some steroids. I had the bamlanivimab. I had ivermectin. And guess what? I responded to treatment. I stayed out of the hospital.
Yeah, and if you think about it, too, throughout the last 10 months, every time someone would tout something that would lessen it or decrease it or be helpful, the news would just jump all over and go, that's not going to do anything. That's dangerous.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
right. That is the worst. That is killing people.
Right.
It's actually murderous.
We poo-pooed every idea every time somebody came up with an idea of some protocol that could actually be helpful. Everyone jumped on it and said, that's not effective, long-term danger, blah, blah, blah. So
The World Health Organization now has come out strongly in favor of ivermectin. And, of course, as you and I were discussing, for the first time, the American press is crushing anything that comes out of the international healthcare system as opposed to fully enthusiastically embracing it.
Well, didn't Trump withdraw from WHO or something? There is some sort of disconnection.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a non-issue. What I'm telling you is, the international literature is clear that ivermectin is helpful. There was a major publication today, and the U.S. press condemned it because it didn't fit their narrative. I don't care who the F is for it or against it. This is science. It works. People need to take this stuff and take it early. The fact that we allow politics or the press to enter into this conversation, that those words come out of our mouth, is killing people. And they need to get on the inflammatory treatments early, too. It's a medical problem, period. Nobody else should be having conversation about it. This is what I've been saying since February. This is what's been driving me out of my mind, is that we have press, people in the press having an opinion about complex medical issues. They should not even be – they don't know how to even pronounce the words they're talking about, let alone have actual clinical experience with it.
I'm on your side on this one, Drew. I have so many questions for you. First of all, you mentioned long hauler. I don't know what that is, if you could explain that. And also the cognitive, Adam, I know you did a while with Drew, so you probably know all this stuff, but what cognitive issues did you experience?
So I was like so out of it. I couldn't think. I would watch TikTok for 4 or 5 hours and wouldn't even know the time had passed. If Susan would ask me to do something, I couldn't understand what she was telling me. I couldn't sequence anything. Now I can't concentrate. I can't initiate anything. It's very hard to concentrate and initiate things. I could tell I was working on my schedule, and my staff told me that I was confusing them by just trying to schedule up, delay patient visits and that kind of thing. And then long haulers is this syndrome of continued weakness, cough, COVID headache, COVID cognition changes that goes on for months. And
it becomes chronic?
In my experience,
Does it become chronic? Like you're just kind of there for God knows how long?
It goes from, most people resolve it in 4 to 6 months, but yeah, it does become kind of chronic in some people. And there's a lot of people working on it, trying to figure out what it is right now. And thus far, the only thing that does work for it is ivermectin. And I'm working with a group, a guy named Bruce Patterson and a guy named Ram Yogendra, who've been a lot of research on this. I am praying, my hope and wishes are that I hit it hard and early. So in addition to avoiding hospitalization, I also wouldn't be a long hauler. Right now, it's the weirdest thing. I mean, I can get out of bed for about 10 minutes, and then I have to go back to bed. It's just the weirdest thing. I can at least get out of bed today.
As I pointed out to Drew, he's always talking about his diminished cognition, but I spoke to Drew every single day for long periods of time, and I did not notice a difference. So you may have felt that way, Drew.
It's a fogginess, and it feels like there's you can't engage the wheels of thought. It's like you have to work hard to get your brain to think.
But it wasn't clear.
Did you speak to Drew or did Drew speak to you? Because if he was listening, it might not have been easy to pick up on.
I was probably complaining about my parents the whole time. And he was just nodding into the phone or nodding off.
Well, to be fair, we did a little hot love boat talk, too.
So. We did. And I got a hot love boat clip for you, Drew, that I've put in the queue. So that's
Drew
exciting.
Drew thought he was on the love boat.
So excited.
Steuben.
So excited.
He kept saluting me. It was weird. What I'm saying is you felt way off your cognition game, but you didn't sound it. So that's...
Yeah. I have some friends that are going through this, too, and I touch base with them. And I just before you guys called, I talked to a guy that had a pretty... He needed hospitalization. He had a bad case. And I was talking to him through it, and I could tell he was different now than before. And when people improve, you can kind of feel the improvement. And so, if you compared me to a week ago, I'm sure I'm better now.
I have to ask the obvious question. Drew, do you have a hunch of where and how you caught it?
My hunch is running around the hospital trying to get the vaccine. I was stonewalled at my hospital, and because I didn't fit the exact profile necessary to get the vaccine, in spite of me saying I'm taking care of COVID patients, I'm keeping COVID patients out of the hospital, I will volunteer in the ER happily, stonewalled. Disgusting what happened there. I should never have gotten sick, and now I can't take care of my patients to keep them out of the hospital. But for the grace of God, I didn't take a hospital bed, could have easily needed one. Really, our vaccine distribution program is a disgusting mess. It really is very upsetting to me what's happening with it. Every arm that's available should get the vaccine. Period.
Hey, real quick, just because you said that, I just got a notification from Fox News saying that the FDA is weighing the plan to half dose everybody. Because, you know, when you say there's a million doses, what they really mean is a half a million doses because you need two. And I know that you've said that the first dose is a pretty good kick. Would you sign off on something like that? I know we don't know everything.
I would sign up for it, but I find that bizarre because the problem is not the amount of vaccine. We have an embarrassment of riches with the amount of vaccine. We are not allowing people to get it. We're putting people in a queue, and we're demanding they stay in a queue rather than trying to save life by giving as many doses as possible as fast as possible. It's disgusting.
We know you got some unfavorable tweets from our friend Dag. I don't know if you have any thoughts on David Alan Greer.
My Susan was engaging with him. That's sad to me. Very, very sad. I've tried to reach out to him many, many times and tried to, I don't get it. I don't know what the problem is. I'd like to know. If I can do better, I'd happily take his input. I like that. I love Dag. And I don't understand the hatred. It's hard to understand.
But you guys went through this before, sort of pre-Trump, pre-politics, pre-everything, right?
Me and David?
Yeah.
He wasn't, I don't know.
He wasn't
not
talking.
That he would tell me.
He wasn't
Did
talking
like
to you for a long
Raisin in the Sun?
Time, right?
Yeah, there was a long time where he was sort of avoiding me, but I visited him in New York and stuff. I had nice interactions with him. I really don't know.
You guys had a dust up long before this. This is the second.
I don't remember. What was it about?
Drew, it was pretty.
I really
pretty
don't know.
Famously,
Adam, he has COVID issues.
Brain.
I guess you got COVID on the brain, Drew. He was not returning your calls and saying he didn't want to talk to you and things. This is 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I said I tracked him down in New York and I had some nice interactions with him.
Yeah, but that's and after you tracking him down and him not talking to you for a long period of time.
Well, but then I didn't understand what was going on either. And I don't understand what was going on. I wish I understood.
Well,
I know what it was. No. There was a thing where after you left Loveline on radio, he wanted to come on and be a guest, and Kevin Weatherly wouldn't allow it because it was too much, quote, Adam and Drew material. Please let some time pass. And I told him that, and he blamed me and said I could have overridden Kevin Weatherly, and it was really my fault that he wasn't able to come in and promote his Brea improv vision.
Yeah.
And that was the whole source of the problem.
Yeah, that was the program director. All right. Drew, so you're recovering. You're, I'd say, almost out of the woods.
I don't know. I mean, each day is like Groundhog Day. I mean, the fact that I can only get out of bed for 10 minutes and then I have to line out is astonishing to me. But I'm noticing I'm irritable. You notice how I jumped in Brian. I that irritability, I don't know where that's coming from. And there are psychiatric features to this, too, that I've noticed.
There's only... I don't know what that is. We had a little techno grab glitch. That's all right. There's only one way to really measure your strength, which is let's see how many push-ups you can do right now. And then
you know what? I bet my strength would be good. It's not strength; it's stamina. Like after if I did 30 push-ups, I'd have to go to sleep for 2 hours.
All right, but then we'll catch you tomorrow morning, and if you can do 33, we'll know you're heading toward the light.
That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm approaching this. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey,
man,
Drew,
I'm really not unhappy this happened to me. I want to help people understand not just the caretaker perspective, but the patient perspective. There's a lot to be learned. You know, I have a lot to share that could really help people. And I need to calm down a little bit. I'm sort of irritable today. So,
Drew, to connect the dots and to do a public service, you alluded to a few things, but what should one do if Gina or I suspect that, you know, oh, shoot, we may have COVID, feel some symptoms.
Yeah. Okay.
To stay out of the hospital, what would one do?
Stay out of the hospital. Yeah. Good question, Brian. So, first of all, have a relationship with a doctor. If you don't have a relationship with a doctor, get online and find a telemedicine doctor. Do not go to the emergency room. Use telemedicine. Have an evaluation, but understand your treatment should be, if you're in a risk category, meaning you're over 60, you have metabolic syndrome, you should focus on early and aggressive treatment. If the doctor does not cooperate with that, find another doctor. Early and aggressive treatment is antibiotics with the doxycycline or azithromycin, ivermectin, maybe hydroxychloroquine, aspirin. And then when you when you get into the inflammatory phase, if after the flu, it's a flu at first, if after the flu you start to get the inflammation, same doctor, dexamethasone, have the doctor sign up. Adam, Chris, I'm going to text you a link to the ivermectin website. The doctor just clicks a couple of buttons and an infusion nurse shows up at your house. Not ivermectin, the bamlanivimab.
Yeah, we'll put the link up at adamcarolla.com. Again, things it'd be nice to hear coming out of Barbara Ferrer's mouth when she's crying and talking about loved ones who will never see their dog again. All right. Drew, on a happier note, I pulled a Love Boat clip. Every time I say Drew, I say Loveline.
I'm so excited.
They did a big two-parter special last week. And the thing I marvel about Love Boat is they have an A story, a B story, a C story, and sometimes you get to the very end of the episode and you're like, what happened to the guy who was the widower who fell in love with his roommate, but we don't know what the hell's going on, and there's 45 seconds left in the episode. Sometimes they just tie it all up when they're getting off the ship. Like, they're literally walking off the ship, and they tie up the whole C story. This was a comedian who passed in 1992, Skip Stevenson, at the ripe old rare early, I should say, age of 52 years of age. This guy was on Real People. I think it was one of those shows where they had, like, ordinary people and real people and America's funniest people that have all these kind of Friday night variety shows sort of highlighting people and their weird stunts and their weird vocations and things like that. All right. So Skip Stevenson is on the boat, and he's on the boat with his brother's piping hot 23-year-old model fiance.
Sure.
And he's taking a cruise, and he's going to donate a kidney to his brother. And once he donates the kidney to the brother, once they get back to port, then the brother is going to go on to marry his super hot fiance. Now, there's a couple interactions with the super hot fiance and the brother who's going to donate the kidney. There's no kissing. There's no sexual tension. Not much sexual tension. There's no physicality. Nothing's consummated. And nothing's agreed upon or even discussed. It's just my brother, and he's going to get my kidney, and then you guys can go on to be married. So this is the entire episode. And at the very end, when they're getting off the boat, everyone runs into each other when they're getting off the boat. Sure. I don't know how that works.
As one does on a 3,000 passenger.
I know.
You know, we ran into each other all the time.
That's right.
Someone is just going home. There's a 2-hour window to get off the boat, and someone's just catching a cab, and the other person always just runs into them in the lobby. And it's always like, well, what if they didn't see him in the lobby? They would just get in the cab and they would never find love. But she intercepts him when he's getting off the boat and has some good news about the brother needing the kidney, or maybe not. We'll run the clip.
Pete, good news.
What's that?
A cablegram from Blake. He won't be needing a transplant anymore.
Hey, that's great news. Did you hear that, George? We've been rejected.
You and me both, George. What? He's going to marry his nurse.
You know, I've got the greatest idea I've ever had. As long as you were engaged to part of me, why not just take the whole thing?
You really mean it?
All right, pause it for a second.
You're engaged? All right, for a second. Wait, what?
What?
She's engaged to the guy's brother 10 minutes ago.
Then she's shacking up with a nurse.
Then she gets the telegram saying, I don't need the kidney. P.S. I've fallen in love with my nurse. I feel like that's a face-to-face conversation.
That's a lot of info.
Hit her with the kidney information, you know, during, I don't know if they charge by the letter when they do those telegrams.
Cablegrams.
Cablegrams. But he also included in the cablegram that he's fallen in love with his nurse. I was also thinking, remember when nurse used to be a hot person job?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Hello, nurse.
I was like, ooh, he fell in love with his nurse. And as Matt the Porcelain Punisher was pointing out earlier, school teacher used to be ugly person job, and nurse was good looking person job. Now nurse is unattractive person job, and school teacher's hot person job. But either way, true, he no longer needs a kidney transplant. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. He needed a new kidney for all these months and years, and now he doesn't need it anymore.
Adam, brought up to Drew the episode where he diagnoses the guy with ALS in a matter of like an hour? There's no test for ALS. It's a long weeding out process.
Believe you me, Brian, it was discussed many times. We discussed it much longer than it took Bricker to diagnose that guy with ALS.
Terminal illness?
Yeah. So all right, we'll roll it back a second. But the brother doesn't need the kidney. he's referring to George or whatever as his kidney, saying, my kidney, George, like he named his kidney. Yeah. So he doesn't need him. So then once she figures out that we don't need the kidney and he's fallen in love with his nurse, now the brother, who she's had very limited contact with, and again, has not so much kissed or hugged yet, he's going to propose that they marry instead. And guess who's over the moon about it? She is. All right,
well,
sorry.
She's out of options. She's
desperate.
Model-esque.
She's a 25-year-old model. Sorry, play it again, Max Pata.
As long as you were engaged to part of me, why not just take the whole thing?
You really mean it?
Yes. My turn to buy your ring. As soon as we get off the plane in L.A. Of course, maybe you want to take some time to think about it?
Oh, are you kidding? I already cabled my Uncle George. He'll be waiting for us at the airport with a suitcase full of samples.
Well, all right. Her Uncle George is obviously a jeweler. She gets this cable that says he doesn't need a kidney and I've fallen in love with my nurse. And then she says, OK, let me send a cable out to my Uncle George, who's going to have engagement rings waiting for us when we get off the plane at LAX. Without discussing, hasn't discussed anything with the guy yet.
Right. If this was a love line call, wouldn't you say, honey, it sounds like you might be in shock? Yeah.
Yes.
This
yes.
is not a rational decision.
Trauma.
I love
it.
Yeah, trauma.
Funny. I'm thinking it's more a sign that people need to have more, back then needed to have more casual sex. They were so desperate to have sex, they had to get married first.
She throws herself into his arms, starts kissing his face and neck, and is so excited. It's also the way we looked at women back then. Like, of course she's desperate to get married. She's 24 and a half. What are her options?
She better be thrilled.
Right. And also, it would seem like that would merit a discussion. You were engaged to my brother for 2 years. Now you found out you're not. He's in a hospital somewhere with a nurse. Like, perhaps this is just a fever that's come over him. Perhaps we should wait till he gets fluids back in his body before you physically marry the brother.
Yeah.
Or maybe we go out to dinner once. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm a Christian and you're an atheist. Maybe you're a Raiders fan and I love Denver. You know what I mean? Like we should hash out a couple of thoughts before we actually get married. Yes. I'm uncut. Do you have an aversion to uncircumcised people? Well, we don't know. We should find out.
As long as you name him George.
She dives. And there's always the problem with these stories is they have to take kind of goofy, unassuming guys and put them with supermodels, and then they make the supermodel desperate. This person is like one of the best looking 24-year-old people on the planet, and she's so fucking desperate just to marry anybody, even goofy Skip Stevenson. So there it is. I want to run that one more time. It's 30 seconds. Now we know the backstory.
He was never here to know her about it. He could really have taken her, leaving her.
Also, he was getting off the boat. Like, I don't know. She just ran up to him.
That was a close call.
Yeah. And, you know, they never really account for, you know, what if the guy just rubbed one out in his cabin before he got off the boat and was kind of in his refractory period? Like, sweetie, easy with the hugging. This is Gabardine. All right, sorry. Yeah. We'll play it again.
Good news.
What's that?
I cablegrammed from Blake. He won't be needing a transplant anymore.
Hey, that's great news. Did you hear that, George? We've been rejected.
You and me both, George. What? He's going to marry his nurse.
Well, you know, I've got the greatest idea I've ever had. As long as you were engaged to part of me, why not just take the whole thing?
You really mean it?
You really mean it?
My turn to buy your ring. As soon as we get off the plane in L.A., of course, maybe you want to take some time to think about it?
Oh, are you kidding? I already cabled my Uncle George. He'll be waiting for us at the airport with a suitcase full of samples.
Well, I call that a rebound.
Two things. First of all, in the writer's room, out of all of these things, they couldn't come up with another name for the uncle since the kidney was already named George. Also, did you see her face when she said, looks like my brother's going to marry his nurse? Bit her bottom lip, looked him up and down. She's lying. I think there needs to be a part two. She's a black widow.
Mm. Let's wait. Wow.
I have strong feelings about this after giving it a second look.
My chauffeur, George, will ferry us straight to the airport, my dear. And our pilot, George, will make haste as we go to LAX. Yeah. I also have to think about the logistics for everything. Like, your uncle's just going to be hanging out with a suitcase full of jewelry at LAX.
Seems safe.
He's going to get arrested.
I know. Yeah. She's so excited. Also, no follow-up questions. He's been going to give her a kidney like Selena Gomez's friend was for all these months. And then she's like, good news. He doesn't need the kidney anymore. He's like, okay, let's get married. Like, he doesn't go like, what the fuck? He should really get a second opinion, right?
His nurse?
It's his brother.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's his brother. Yeah. I feel like his brother should have reached out to him, the guy who was wringing his hands about this kidney surgery the whole time. You know, he should have been the first to know. Anyway, another fantastic episode of Loveline, all wrapped up in 28 seconds. I mean,
hey, Drew, how often does someone in need of a kidney transplant all of a sudden not need the kidney transplant?
Let me think. Never. Never.
Well, what about if that person's newly in love?
I was telling Adam, I go, is the conceit in the writer's room that being on the love boat is so phantasmagoric that magical things just happen? Is it like Fantasy Island when you're on the love boat?
Is
that what they were thinking? I mean, what were they thinking back then?
Well, I don't want to be a naysayer, Drew, but from watching the love boat carefully over the years, it's a two-way street because you can either not need a kidney or you can get full-blown Lou Gehrig's disease right in the middle of the buffet. You know what I mean? So
it's
like,
a real coin toss.
It's a real fucking – you are fucking rolling the dice when you get on that boat medically.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Drew. Godspeed to you. Thanks for the thanks for the update.
I am. closing my eyes, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Yeah.
I feel better.
How fucked up is it that super physically compromised Dr. Drew is like, I may only be able to do 30 push-ups, but I'd fucking be struggling with 13 right now. Fuck 30.
He sounds exactly the same.
I know.
Like, guys, I don't feel so good. Not Drew.
He thinks he's a mess, but he's not. All right, we'll take a break. We'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, since we just had a convo with COVID patient Dr. Drew, let's just knock these out real quick. First of all, Larry King has been hospitalized with COVID-19, but he's been moved out of the ICU. 87 years old. He's in isolation, of course, not permitted to have visitors. A source says the folks at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in L.A. are giving King odds of 50-50 or better. And that he's improving. He's no stranger to health problems. He had a major heart attack in 87, a cancerous tumor removed in 2017, angioplasty in 2019, a stroke. So the unsinkable Molly Brown over here.
Still knocked out four shows today, I bet.
That's right. That's exactly right. With right. bow tie. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there has been an outbreak in San Jose, California, at a hospital where the culprit, the patient zero, if you will, has been linked to an inflatable Christmas costume that some do-gooder thought they would come in and cheer up the patients with their fan-operated inflatable Christmas tree costume, which blew air all over the place. At least 43 staffers, we have a picture of it, have tested positive between December 27th and New Year's. The hospital since deep cleaned the area, infected, and all infected staff members are isolating at home. Hospital officials believe the fan inside the costume may have been what caused all of this. They add that any exposure would have been accidental. The hospital will no longer allow allow fan-powered costumes inside. You'd think they would have thought of that, but...
Yeah, so it's like a big inflatable Christmas tree, and mm-hmm. the moving of the air is what spread it around.
Yeah.
This is San Jose?
Let that be a lesson. Yeah, San Jose.
Between that and the fucking Stanford tree, man, up to no good up there.
I know, because it does look like the Stanford tree.
It does look like the Stanford tree.
How many people?
Put it side by side.
How many people got it?
43.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. As much as I like Christmas tree mascots, maybe mm-hmm. with all this going on, maybe the hospital, maybe that's not the plan. I saw you can Max Zapata. There was a thing as I was traveling through L.A. airport. There's advertisements on the sort of, you know, digital advertising scrolling mm-hmm. things that are up for this helmet, this fan helmet. Have you guys seen this thing?
No.
Oh, it's a...
Oh, does it blow air away from you?
No, it's literally a space helmet that you put on. And since...
It's a diving bell?
It's essentially a diving bell. It's a helmet that you put on. It's got a clear, round bubble glass, sort of like the Apollo mission guys would wear. It looks much like one of those, you know, 60s, 70s space helmet, or today's space helmet. And they're advertising that you put this thing on and walk around. It's got two fans in it, and I can't remember what it was called. I would never wear that helmet for one simple reason. I know either Jimmy or Cousin Sal would figure out a way to fart into it.
Yeah.
That much I know. But, yes, they were advertising at LAX. Kind of interesting. It's an interesting place to advertise because if you are passing through LAX, you've probably signed off on what would be called high risk behavior already. Like you're there because you want to go to Vegas and gamble. Thus, you're probably not too freaked out by COVID because you're choosing to get on a Southwest flight. A certain percentage of people are going to see their Nana in Chicago. But most people that are traveling around the holidays are kind of like, I'll throw a little bit of caution to the wind. I want to get out. Yes.
Counterpoint, how many people traveling in and around the holidays are, or just traveling these days, are doing it because they have to? As opposed to choose to.
I guess you'd have to really, Bill Clinton did many years ago, we have to break down the definition of have to. Because go.
Depends on what have is.
Like, I have an elderly parent in Michigan, but do you have to see them for Christmas kind of thing? I don't know. Maybe that falls under that.
Yeah, to you, that's have to.
Maybe that falls under that heading. I still will tell you that the baggage carousel at LAX had 400 people around it with zero social distancing because you can't tell people spread out around a baggage carousel. Everyone is jockeying for position to get up and in that thing to hop in their Uber as fast as humanly possible. So not only do the airlines have full flights now, and we looked into it, I think Southwest since December 7th, I think.
Oh, yeah. Got a lot of tweets today. Yeah. But, you know, it's regulated by the Fed, so L.A. can't do anything about flights coming into L.A.
So they're 100% full, yes.
And somebody emailed me and said, to answer your question, Brian, since Vegas isn't locked down, since that's the place the flight originated from, they don't have to follow those rules.
Right. So it is 100% full flights on Southwest and 1,000% humanity around the baggage carousel when everyone gets off of that thing. I mean, you can talk about spreading out in a venue like a sports venue. You can talk about spreading out at a restaurant or a salon. The average space between the human around the baggage carousel is 4.5 inches shoulder to shoulder, if not touching, and then everyone's 8 people deep. Like when 5 flights all come in at the same time and it's all on. And when the flight is full, they make you check bags and they throw them down to the carousel. They're not doing the gate check. But what is that helmet called, Max Zapata?
I think it's called the Microclimate Air.
This looks like a sperm head.
This thing was black,
Yeah, this they're black ones. Too.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it has a HEPA filter in and out. And yeah,
there it is.
Yeah, and it's just you're sealed up.
But are
question.
You?
Well, yeah, it looks loose at the bottom like a net gaiter. But question, how bad does a contagious disease have to get for you to sign off on looking like a dipshit?
Yeah, that's Jude.
That's a tough look to pull off.
That's Jude Law in Contagion.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
It's also, if you're a seagull or any kind of bird, this is your number one target. Like this dude walking outside. If you could shit on that windshield, you'd be the king of all the seagulls. Like freshly washed Mercedes is a 7.5, but shitting on a douchebag's face shield, that would be awesome. You know what it kind of reminds me of? Remember after 9/11, they were selling like parachutes to people who lived in buildings that were higher than 11
high-rise
stories
parachutes.
And like rope ladders that went 10 stories. Like there was this whole market of paranoid people. It's like, I need to do this because this shit happened. I feel like that's the same crowd.
So these things can operate for over 5 hours. They're battery powered.
They don't run off a super long extension cord for your apartment.
No, and the sound inside the helmet is somewhat muffled. They're working on that issue. Speech is it does remain audible for those inside and outside the bubble. But you still can't eat or drink anything with it yet. They are working on a small straw port.
really defeats the purpose.
Yeah, then the whole thing is useless.
Yeah, there it is. It's called Air. And how much these things retail for? I'd kind of like to know.
$200.
Let me check. Yeah, I'm seeing $270 on a site.
Yeah, all right. That's under $300. You know, for the price of a good steak dinner, you could get yourself a bucket to put on your head.
Yeah, it's
$300
on their site.
All right. Now, would you wear? Well, you'd wear it at the airport, I guess. You'd probably wear it
on the plane.
Wear it to Thanksgiving. Probably be tough driving because there'd be a peripheral problem. Wouldn't be able to parallel park. All right, well there you go. It's called Air, and I saw it at LAX. What I do want to revisit my lemon and lime controversy. Speaking of,
they always give you a lime.
Getting a drink at LAX. Yeah, I got the vodka, soda water, and lemon. But I also realize that I'm going to have to say, I can no longer say lemon. I have to say Z lemon, or I have to put something in front of it so the person stops and goes, what? Like, what are you talking about? Because not only did I get the lime instead of the lemon, when I said to the guy, what's up with the lemons? He said, oh, yeah, we're out of limes. And I said, no, there's a lime in my drink. And he went, oh, then we're out of lemons. And I realized if you're 46 and you're working as a bartender at Pub and Brewing Rock over there at the Southwest Terminal LAX at 11 o'clock, you're the dumbest guy everyone went to high school with, right? And the fact that lemon and lime start with the same letter is way too – that's a bridge too far for your brain.
Yeah.
It's too much.
You lock it off at le.
Le.
You
that's
know
all
what?
We got.
I love the unnecessary whatever, Z or whatever. I think about doing – yellow lemon, or I'll have a green lime. Because
interesting. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Because now it's in their mind, like what? But the color and the word are in their mind. You know
that's interesting. I was trying to think of the only kind of lemon that anyone's ever heard of, and along the same lines, I was just going to say I'll have a Meyer lemon because that's the name of a lemon that
I'm
going to
go with the color. I'm going to go full Dr. Seuss Sesame Street.
You're going to sound insane.
Fool some
lemon,
of these bartenders.
Mm-hmm.
With the yellow sun and the blue sky.
One fish, two fish.
How much green money does this take?
Yes. All right. Are you guys with me, speaking of money, and everyone's just doing the thing now where you plug the card into the thing. There's now so many different credit card readers. I don't know where to begin. I find myself like holding the card and the guy just placed the card onto the screen and I'm stabbing it. Like, where's the vagina? Where's where I got to slip? No. Don't swipe it. Put the thing
insert,
in.
Insert.
Yeah. Or now just like lay it down on this thing. But
tap.
I, I have this weird thing that even if there's a little illustration of the magnetic strip and what side it's supposed to be on, I always go full backwards on it. I invert it. I screw it up. I go dyslexia on it. Like I have the strip going the wrong way. And then at some point, the guy super condescendingly has to grab it out of your hand and then reach through the plexiglass and do the thing that 9-year old could do for you.
I think actually swiping these days is considered old school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you
just
tap
or tap.
Or you do the Apple Pay, just the two clicks on the phone, just hold it near. That's the contactless payment.
Well, either way, for my entire life, the only credit card thing was that big, weird Brannock device machine where they pulled the thing over and dragged it over the top of it. That was it. And the Corollas didn't have credit cards. I didn't have to deal with that shit.
So do we just burn our money now?
I guess, especially with all the COVID and disease and handling and no one wants to touch anything. So I think that's it. I think change is, you know, bygone era, and cash is almost a bygone era. And I'm telling you, the more we get into our phones and the more we get into all this debit and instant this and automatic deposits, and the more we lose our relationship with money and the more in debt everyone's going to be. I mean, look no further than school loans and or the credit card we always talk about on the campus at 21%. Like it's all invisible. Everyone's 18 and a half and they go, fuck it, sign me up. And that's where we're at nationwide now. All right. What else, Gina?
YouTube star Logan Paul is set to face Floyd Mayweather Jr. in a boxing match that is supposed to go down February 20th of this year. Logan Paul has been training for about 3 years, but neither Mike Tyson nor Logan's brother Jake thinks this is a good idea and that he has a chance in hell of winning. So I have a couple clips for you. In the first clip, a TMZ reporter asked Jake how he thinks Logan will do against Mayweather.
Manny Pacquiao is one of the greatest strikers, fastest hands, like, out there in history. One of those guys, like, the few guys. And I wonder, like, if he couldn't touch Floyd in 12 rounds, how's your brother going to get a hold of him?
No, exactly. I agree. My brother's fucked. It's bad for the sport. I think it's just for clout. You know, my brother's a fake fighter. I'm the real.
He's the real deal. Yeah. Well, he was saying that... Who fought him? Oh, Conor McGregor, right? Didn't touch him for 12 rounds. Was that what he was saying? Did we miss it? The top of the clip there? Who didn't touch Floyd for 12 rounds?
I think it's Manny. Yeah, Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, did you say Manny? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Screwed that up. Yeah. Look, Mayweather's going to get a kajillion dollars. People will watch just for the spectacle of it. And there are no more bad ideas. There are no more bad ideas for TV shows. There's no more bad ideas for reality shows. There's no more bad ideas for stunt fights or spectacles. There's no more bad ideas for musicals. Everything is potentially a good idea. All right. Gina and Bald fell off the screen. All right. Gina and Bald, they're getting rebooted. So in the interim, I got a 3-minute clip of Unprepared. This is from an old one from Salt Lake City, but we haven't played it yet. And I will tell you guys, you can go to adamcarolla.com and find out where I'm doing live shows, because that's going to be everywhere. And also, you can go to our YouTube page and watch all these stand-up clips for free. YouTube.com/AdamCarolla. All right. This is, what's the theme of this one, Max Spana?
Horchata.
Horchata. Horchata. You guys know it? You guys get horchata out here? Yeah. It's a bad sign. I used to talk about a horchata 20 years ago. People were like, what the fuck is that? Like, now I was like, oh, horchata. Horchata is one of those things where, like, I work with dudes. You know, I work this Spanish, his Spanish guys. Hispanics, Latinxes. I work with these guys. They drink horchata. And like, horchata is one of those things you go, what is this? And it's like, it's rice and water and sugar and cinnamon. And you go, fucking rice. Like, ugh, what the fuck is that? That tastes like shit, right? It tastes like ass. And I go, no, it's good, you know? And I go, hey, give me a hit off that. This is a joke, you know? In America, we have Sprite, Pepsi, and Coke. I mean, and you take a little hit off it, and you're like, I told...
Fucking not too shabby, man. This shit tastes like a, it's like a cinnamon donut. Let me get another hit. Get a hit off that. So horchata is making the rounds. I don't like the churros making the rounds. Now, you guys have churros out here? First off, you... All right, you churros, you Mexicans, you took our donuts and you're too fucking lazy to put them in a shape of a circle. You fucking ran out of steam making donuts. Don't fucking call it a churro. That's a donut where you had to take a nap in the middle of making them. You're like, I got this thing. I'm going to and take a little siesta. I'll come back and I'll put it in the shape of a proper donut. And while you're gone, some asshole put it in the oven. And you're like, I call it a churro. My son was eating these churros. We went to the zoo, the Los Angeles Zoo. The Los Angeles Zoo has a whole churro hut, like a whole thing, and they're handing out the churros. And it ain't just churros anymore. It's like chocolate dip churros. My son is 5. He gets the churro with the cream filling in it. This is a dad's worst nightmare. Sit, big brown phallic thing, sucking on it, you know. He's got the fucking boy batter dripping down his chin. Puts his finger in it, rubs a little on his nipple. Oh, so good. About a snow cone, boy. No, I'm good. I'm good with the churro. Next day, he had pink eye. Stupid homoerotic churro.
There you go. The horchata and the churro. We are waiting for Bald and Gina. I got some stuff to talk about. Good news. I wrote shit down, people. So, a couple of thoughts while Bald Gina boot back up. One is, I noticed in Vegas, lots of people smoking weed, just walking up and down that strip, just puffing on big blunts. Like, everyone is just smoking weed walking up and down that. I don't know. I know it's decriminalized or not illegal or whatever it is. Still always as an old guy feels weird, like you're going to get into trouble. But people just fucking walking down the street, just smoking on it like they're smoking a stogie. Just an observation. One of my many, many, many arguments for teachers not wanting to fucking work. Actually, last night I was talking to my son and I was like, well, back to school because, you know, we're done with the Christmas vacation and the New Year's vacation. He's like, nope, no school on Monday. Why not? It's a teacher free day where they get caught up on, by the way, get caught up on what? You just fucking had 13 days off. Get caught up on what? Grading papers from when? The previous tax year? That's what you're fucking doing. And then also, hey, teachers, it's Monday. It's time to go back to work. All of humanity goes back to work on the Monday after the vacation. But you guys have carved out one more day. And also, since schools aren't even open, what really is the definition of going back to work? I think Gina and Bald have re-entered the fray. You guys
see what happens when you get disconnected. We're not here to wrangle you.
Yeah, I know. The comedy ensues.
I'm glad we're back because I really want to play this Tyson clip for you. So this is just to kind of reset here. Logan Paul set to face off against Floyd Mayweather in February. Mike Tyson goes on Logan Paul's show to assess the situation. And this is what they have to say about it.
Someone told me this. He doesn't have a vice. Yeah. He doesn't have a vice.
No, he does. The gym.
The gym.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? So you don't think there's an opportunity to land one big shot or a couple big shots?
He might let you hit him a couple of times to make the show look good.
Oh, my God.
You said
it'll all be an act?
Charity?
How much is it? What am I, a charity case for Floyd Mayweather?
No, you're not charity. You're challenging him. You're a man. You're not fucking charity.
That's right.
There's always a danger when two men go in the ring. Anything can happen.
Boom. That's all I need to hear.
That's all he's going to clip. Everything else gets deleted.
I'm going to cut the first thing you said. Not going to make the podcast.
Watching him in the ring with you, he's probably going to be like the third round, and he's like, "Fool, you thought this was my final form?" And just like, like just Super Saiyan 7, and you're just like, it just knocks you out completely.
Well, he is, he's probably going to enter the ring 40 pounds heavier than Floyd Mayweather, and he's going to have a pretty substantial size, like height and size. Not that that's the end all be all. The tough part is Mayweather, there's other like skilled guys, you know, guys like Manny Pacquiao, a lot of Mexican fighters, guys like that. They're seasoned and they're skilled, but they get hit. And then so one could make the argument, though, well, what if you did get hit by a 200-pound guy versus a 147-pound guy? Might that make a difference, even if the 200-pound guy was sort of an amateur?
Right.
Floyd is 5'8", and Logan is 6'2". That's pretty simple. But the whole thing is Floyd's claim to fame is never getting hit. And so that's where the rub comes here. If he was fighting some guy like, again, like Pacquiao or even like a Roberto Duran type or something, those guys do get hit. And so maybe you'd have what they call a puncher's chance. But Floyd is so goddamn slick. That seems to be the problem. But, you know, you have to understand it. Floyd is 43. 40, I mean, you know, every 43. Oh, good guess. Got to send him out a bottle of two-buck Chuck, by the way. His birthday just passed. You know, you do start slowing down. Like, you do slow down. Every day that, you know, it's sort of like this up the hill and down the hill. You know, from 15 to 30, you're kind of going up the hill, and at some point you crest the hill, and every month or year that goes by, you slow down a little bit. Some people work out harder, and some people have better genes and all that kind of stuff, but at some point, Paul's skills are going up, and Mayweather's declining. Now, at some point, so if they caught each other 6 years from now, maybe there would be something. Maybe if one of them was 49 or 50 and the other was 27, maybe something. But at this point, probably not. But it'd still be a spectacle, and you'd be a fool to say it's not going to be entertaining because so many of these fights turn out to be entertaining.
That's exactly what it is. And is this a new life? Is this a second career life for Floyd Mayweather doing these sort of odd circus exhibition fights?
His second life is gambling.
Well, Floyd loves money. Well, his middle name is Money, so you know he loves money. Yeah. My middle name's Danger, so that we have a different thing going on. But Floyd was probably getting big paydays fighting the Pacquiao's and the Barreras and these guys of his era and his world and his legitimate fights. But his paydays were probably smaller than his sideshow fights with like Conor McGregor or a kangaroo in Brunei or something like that. So he's figured out, well, if you're Floyd Mayweather, instead of getting hit by guys who are professionals and getting $50 million a fight, how about making $200 million a fight fighting guys that can't really hit you?
Sold.
He's doing a kind of a math there that I think all of us would do, right?
It's a business decision.
I mean, what did he get allegedly for the McGregor fight, who's obviously trained, but he's trained in a different discipline? What did he get for the McGregor fight versus like his last Pacquiao fight or something like that? I guarantee he's making more on the freak show shit. So normally there's that thing where it's like, oh, you were an actress and you're making $5 million a film, and now you've been offered $5,000 to do a porno or something, and you have to kind of
Hallmark movie.
Yeah, Hallmark movie.
Same thing.
Can I do a porno? Okay, fine. But this is kind of different. This is your famous actor who's making $10 million a film, and now we're going to offer you $50 million a film to do a Hallmark film.
Right.
Done.
Okay, sign me up.
Happily.
Floyd got $280 million for the McGregor fight.
Wow.
And he probably didn't make over $100 for the Pacquiao fight, which was some years earlier, but not that much earlier. So he's making more in his sort of sunset years and his retirement than he did when he was doing it legitimately.
That was speaking a satisfying answer.
Speaking of sunset years, are we going to let this clip go by without mentioning that Tyson does not sound well?
He's always had a lisp,
but he sounds impaired.
That's why I mentioned it, because I don't know if there's something physical, psychological, but it's very hard to understand him.
Floyd's real middle name is Joy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm only basing this on doing a podcast with Tyson, or doing a couple podcasts, but going and doing his podcast once. He tends to like to eat while the mics are hot. So he'll like start opening a trail mix bar like right as the show is starting, and then
might have some almond butter in his teeth.
It's good pod.
I don't know. We got to hear it again, but he was eating when I did my pod with him, so I feel like he was chewing on something.
Interesting. There's no that's possible, of course. There's no evidence in the video of him, you know, taking a bite of something, but the man does not sound well. He sounds like Gina pointed out when we were chatting off the air, like a deaf person would sound.
He sounds a little hard of hearing.
Well, he sounded good, you know, 3 weeks ago when he was promoting his fight. So I don't think he's declined that much in 3 weeks. I think maybe he was doing. Also, he's probably high as fuck, and like Tyson doesn't care that much, and nobody ever coaches him up. You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
Like nobody ever, except for Customato.
There's no media relations specialist.
No one goes, hey, Mike, put down the fucking trail mix bar. The fucking mics are hot. Let's get it together, bro. Like no one ever tells him what to do. So
who'd like to be that person?
Not I. Yeah, we'll see. We'll run the clip again. Now think in terms of him chewing on something, and let's see if it sounds that way or not.
Someone told me this. He does not. He doesn't have a vice. Yeah. He doesn't have a vice.
No, he does. The gym. Yeah.
What are you going to do? You don't think there's an opportunity to land one big shot or a couple big shots?
He might let you hit him a couple of times to make the show look good.
Oh, my God.
It'll all be an charity. How much is it? What am I, a charity case for Floyd Mayweather?
No, you're not charity. You're challenging him. You're a man. You're not fucking charity.
That's right.
There's always a danger when two men go in the ring. Anything can happen.
Boom. That's all I need to hear.
That's all he's going to clip. Everything else gets deleted.
He was kind of flapping. He was kind of chomping, but he was also tongue. I can't tell.
I have a theory.
Did he have chew in his mouth?
It seemed like something was in his mouth, but yes.
Sounded like he could have been messing around with some dentures, and they were falling out. Does anyone know if he still has his regular teeth?
Interesting.
Never heard of it, but not a bad thought. All right. Let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, you guys, I know more than anybody, could probably use a little more Nicolas Cage in your life right now.
Yes,
please.
And I mean, whether you care or not, what it is might determine how interested you'll be. But he is hosting a new Netflix show, and it's called The History of Swear Words. It takes a deeper look into some of our most colorful language. He'll be joined by experts on history and language. He'll also be joined by Sarah Silverman, Nikki Glaser, film critic Elvis Mitchell, many, many more. Because, you know, trailers don't always give you a good idea of the actual show. Here's just a clip from the show that focuses on a very specific word.
It seems to me that bitch isn't a word. It's a moment, an experience. Other swear words like shit, fuck, damn are reactionary and universal. But bitch can be used like a weapon. And it's personal.
So
I love it.
He's doing what Floyd Mayweather's doing.
Yes.
Fucking getting paid now that
That's
the career,
right.
not the legit career, is in the rearview mirror. He's seeing some paydays.
Yeah,
he doesn't
I
have to
check
do a direct-to-video movie in Europe. He can just do this.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, we'll do our stereo Q&As in the next segment. we'll bid adieu to Gina and Bald, and we'll take a quick break. Be right back with your live questions right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.